That talk, and it will give you an overview. But today I want to talk about, I've called the subject Together in the Vision. And I want to just look primarily from Ephesians in a moment or two, but I want to help us, the purpose of this talk, I want to help us see that we've all got a part to play. We've all got a part to play in going where God wants us to go. And in Proverbs 29, verse 18, we read probably quite a well-known scripture, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The English Standard Version puts it this way, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, or the people are discouraged. And lastly, the New Living Translation says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. So three different translations there of the same verse. But I hope you pick up that vision is important, and a clear sense of vision and purpose, according to King Solomon, is important if we are going to fulfill the call of God on our lives and be focused on the things which he's calling us to. And I believe God has given us prophetic vision. I believe God has given us that revelation. Not the whole revelation, of course, but a sense of heaven's perspective and some of what was mentioned in specific terms we looked at last week. Because according to the scripture there, without a sense of God's purpose, those different translations say people are unrestrained, or they're discouraged, or we perish, or we run wild. But where we have a vision, we go with the purposes of God. Last week I looked at, used an illustration from World War II about some of the things which I was talking about. But as I was thinking about this verse this week, it reminded me of a little bit about what's going on in Libya at the moment. Because we see there the rebel contingent, they've got an idea, they've got a broad vision, they want to overthrow the Gaddafi government. But it seems to me that there's no clear focus, there's no prophetic vision or strategy, if you like. They just want to see their ruler ousted. And I don't know whether you've seen any of the pictures on the news, but they're a very excitable crowd of people. And once they begin to take some ground, they're firing in the air and they're so excited, this, that and the other, and they're going to go to the next town, and with help from other nations, you know, they get through to some of the towns. And then, you know, the next day you realize they've all been driven back again, and they're all a bit down and disheartened. And then, you know, they have another little victory with some help from other nations, and they're all pretty excited again. And what I saw there was no clear strategy. There's no clear vision. And they're opposing an army which is ordered and which is structured. And without outside help, they wouldn't have a chance in overcoming. And I just felt it just, to me, it helped me just begin to see, you know, these group of guys with no clear direction, no clear order in the ranks, they run wild, they're unrestrained, they're just going here, going there, anywhere they like, but they will never fulfill their purpose. Unless some more order comes into the army. So I just felt there was a little bit of a picture for us to help to understand where there's no vision, no prophetic vision, you know, how we can end up. And so last week we talked about the importance of personal devotions. And we touched on it, didn't talk about it, we touched on it. We talked about God's plan to raise up godly families. We talked about a specific vision of this year, asking the Lord to help us win 20 men, 20 women, and 20 youth. We talked about the result of that would need to be 5 new cells opened. And of course, there's the challenge of the nations, and Africa is very much a continent which we're involved in, and how we can respond to that. So 4 or 5 main focuses we touched on last week, and our activities, our finances, our initiatives will all be sort of used to help us be be specific about fulfilling and moving on in those particular areas. And then Kev and I see this building a couple of days later, and we think, well, maybe there's another focus there, which we need to be praying about and thinking about. A new building, hopefully, possibly, for Life Spring this year. But today I want us to see that everybody has a role to play. You might feel like a little bit disconnected with some of those things, but if you're part of this church, I want to see that there's a role for you. And so I've just headed up my first little part of this talk here is called Catching Heaven's Flow. And if you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, just going to look at three verses there, and then we'll look at the following few verses a little bit later on. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want to just unwrap that a little bit for us. Notice the vision of the church, complete unity in the faith, not just in the spirit. Unity in the spirit is very, very important. Paul talked about that a little bit earlier. But here he's talking about unity in the faith, which is agreement about, well, at least important doctrine, agreement in direction. We're all moving with the same understanding and purpose. And Paul is saying there's gifts given to the church in order that we might be united in the faith. He talks about a clear understanding and knowledge about Jesus. So we understand it's for him, it's through him, it's about him. You know, as Tamara encouraged us, we applaud the Lord for who he is and actually for the privilege of involving us in where he wants to go and what he's wanting to do. But Jesus is the source of life. Jesus has all authority. He's the one who's building his church. And do you remember that time when he quoted that? He said to the disciples, remember he said, who do people say that I am? And they came up with all sorts of things and people and suggestions. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And good old Peter, he replied, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies back, it's on this revelation, it's on this confession, which I'll build my church. And so that understanding about who Jesus is so important. And Paul says here, we have these gifts, we have these ministries to bring us to that place and that understanding and that knowledge that we're co-workers with him. He's holding it all together, he tells us in Colossians. And one day, he's coming back for a glorious bride. And do you know who that is? She's not out there somewhere. She's here. We're part of that glorious bride which Jesus is coming back for. A church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Isn't that wonderful? That's us. That's us. And it's all the rest of the churches in this town and in the world. We are that church. And he goes on to say here about the church becoming mature. I didn't read all the verses. I think it's a little bit later on. You know, not being knocked here and there with every wind of doctrine, with every bad thing that happens, or all these different things which come. But there's a solidity, there's a maturity. We're experiencing, we're displaying the fullness of Christ. This is the vision, not weak, irrelevant, impotent, but like the head, Jesus, healed, whole, powerful, merciful, loving and compassionate. The church, a force to be reckoned with, bringing in the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying, I've given you gifts to enable this to come about. So how do we get there? And my first point is, we stay under heaven's flow. Now what do I mean? Let me unwrap that a bit. What do I mean? You see, we read those verses there. Jesus, the ascended Christ, has given gifts, he's given ministries to the church, leaders to his church. And he mentions five of them here: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And Paul is saying their role is primarily in the church to equip, to train, to teach, to develop, to encourage, to strengthen the church. So Jesus, in his wisdom, he's ascended, he's been anointed, he's in heaven, and when he gets to heaven, he releases these gifts into his church. So our attitude to any of Christ's gifts must be to receive from them with an open heart. And as we do, we receive from that flow of blessing from heaven. As we receive God's gifts to us, men and women who he's anointed and equipped and put into our lives, his life, his love, his anointing, and his protection flow to the church. Amen. It's the funnel of heaven. It's like he's given gifts. This is me coming, he says. These are the gifts. They come in my name. As you receive them, you receive me. And as you receive the gifts which they are, you receive the blessing which flows from heaven. Hallelujah. So our attitude needs to be an open heart. He's given them for our good. Receiving is to do with honoring, recognizing, esteeming, and serving those whom he has sent. These are kingdom initiatives and attributes. We read, Jesus honored his Father. He recognized, of course, he knew who he was. He esteemed him as holy. Hallowed be your name. And he served his Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I'm not just doing my own stuff. I've come to do the will of God. That was Jesus' heart and attitude. And of course, he's our example to follow today. So it's an attitude of heart if we're going to be the church which God is calling us to be. We choose to give honor, respect, because they are God's gift to his church. Not necessarily because we've deemed they've earned our respect. That is irrelevant. God has honored, therefore we need to choose to honor. Every church I've been to, which is moving at a higher level of authority and anointing and effectiveness, has embraced this principle. I believe it's how the kingdom of heaven works. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says this: anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. He's saying this to his disciples. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous man's reward. This is amazing stuff. We so easily miss it in the West. Jesus is saying, if you welcome, receive, and honor me, then you welcome, receive, and honor God. We could say, if you don't welcome, receive, and honor him, then we don't welcome and receive and honor God, because he comes in the name of his Father, because he sent him. And the same is true for the ministries which God has given us in this church and in other churches too. And as we honor, as we receive from them, we receive their reward. Time's going. We won't look at the Mark thing, Ben, or whoever's over there, Ben. We won't look at that moment. In Mark 6, we read a very interesting story. Jesus turns up in his hometown, and he comes, he'd just come. In Mark chapter 5, we read where he came from. He'd been healing people. He'd healed the ruler of the synagogue's daughter, a woman who'd had a woman's illness for 12 years, touched his robe and got healed. There was anointing flowing. The power of God was flowing at the time. And as people came up to receive Jesus, they received healing. And then he comes to his hometown. And in Mark chapter 6, you can read the story, if you like, when you get home. But it says, and he couldn't do much in his hometown because there was so little faith. And the reason, it seems to me, there was so little faith was because there was familiarity there. They said, well, we know him. He's Joseph's boy. This is Jesus. He's the guy. He's the carpenter. He's the guy that, you know, his brothers and sisters are around. You know, we know who he is. And they just saw Jesus at that very natural level and never saw him as the Messiah. They never saw him as the Son of God. They never saw him as the one sent from heaven. And they never received heaven's reward. They just received a few little healings. Whereas the people before received all that they came for, and their needs were met 100%. Can you see the difference? No honor given, no reward received. And I think that speaks to us here. That speaks to, you know, it's so easy to recognize and to honor those we see on the God Channel. And it's absolutely right, most of them, that we do. They're God's gifts. They're leaders of mega churches. They're seeing thousands saved. You know, I mean, praise God for those sort of guys which we see on the God Channel. And it's right that we give them the honor which they deserve because they are God's gift to the church. But I want to say here and in Reading, no big churches, no this, that, and the other. But there's God's gifts given. And we need to say, Lord, open my eyes that I can receive and honor those who you've given me to. Here at LifeSpring, our cell leaders, our teams of 12, our worship team leaders, our youth leaders, our trustees, all God's gifts to LifeSpring. As we honor and receive from them, we'll receive heaven's reward and the vision fulfilled in our lives. Let's also recognize and honor leaders across Reading. No big mega church guys here, but men and women of integrity who love God, who love each other, and who love this town of Reading. Men like Vernon, we had him the other day, come and speak to us. Amazing guy, like Yinka, like Pastor Joel, Billy Fenning at St. Saviour's, Steve Prince, we could go on, Jonathan Wilmot. Good people in the town. You know, one of the things I love when people come here, it happened to me actually 3 or 4 years ago. I went to speak in a church here in Reading, and I was bowled over with the financial gift they gave me. And I came back and I said to our trustees, we've got to do better. If we're going to honour, when people come here, I want to really honour them, financially as well as hearing and receiving what they say. And we had the privilege of just giving Vernon a check. And he said, I'm just bowled over with your generosity. It's our privilege. We honour the man of God and we receive the man of God's reward. Amen. What a privilege we have. What a beautiful revelation. As we honour those whom God's given us, then the flow of heaven comes into our lives and we receive the blessing of God. So my first point was, how do we fulfil this vision? We stay under heaven's flow, recognising and honouring those who he's given us. Go back to Ephesians, please. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people. You know, as we allow these men, women, speak into our lives, they're going to help us become mature. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. These are two important principles, I believe, for us to fulfill the call of God in our lives. One, we honor those whom he's given us. Two, each part does his work. And that includes every one of us. We've got a part to play. We've got a role to play. Notice heaven's flow from him, from the head. Now, there's two aspects to this. I mean, we can all connect directly with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Of course we can. You know, and we need to understand that. We've got direct access to God. We're not Catholics. We don't need to go through a priest. We can come direct to him. Amen? And we can receive from him, and he can speak into us, and he can anoint us and bless us. But actually, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Paul is talking about what I mentioned earlier on. It's as we receive from each other, we are connected to the head. If you look at that more closely, you'll see what I'm saying. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. The connections, the relationships, the authority which we give, the honor which we release, these enable structures, the body to work together. And Paul says here, from him the whole body flows from the head as we're joined and held together. The head directs the whole operation, just as in the human body. Yes, his life can flow directly to you, but he's given us each other to support, to encourage, to bring direction. Every part is needed. And the promise of God is, and as each part does its work, the body grows, the church grows, we become more effective. The plan of Jesus is being fulfilled. Now, it's important to get hold of the big picture when we're talking about little parts. And there's a story which I've quoted once or twice here before, but I just love the story, and I probably haven't got it quite right, but it's about three stone masons working on St. Paul's Cathedral. And Sir Christopher Wren, the architect of the cathedral, was touring the building site one day, so the story says, and he saw the first mason and he said to him, what are you actually doing? What's your job? And he says something along the lines, well, my job is to shape these stones that I might build these pillars. So he goes along to the next person. He says, and what are you doing here? And he said, well, actually, I'm here because with the money I get, with the skills which I've got, it enables me to provide for my family. And so I'm earning good money, and I can provide for my children and my wife. And he goes to the third stonemason, and he says to him, and what's your role? What are you doing here? And the third stonemason looks up to him, and he says, I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren build St. Paul's Cathedral. I just love that. They were all doing the same jobs, but which one do you think would have put the most effort, heart, and everything else into his work? The first one, he was just doing a job. All he could see was a pillar. Once I've done the pillar, I'll do something else. That's all he could see. The second one, well, he could have had a job anywhere. He could have been out in the road. He could have been down the road. It didn't matter where he was. He just needed a job to support his family. But the third one, he'd caught the vision. I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren fulfill the vision of building St. Paul's Cathedral. And I want each one of us to see that is where we need to be when it comes to playing our part in LifeSpring Church. We need all sorts of people with all sorts of gifts in order to fulfill the vision God has given us. We need those which have got a real heart to pray. And I'm saying, if you've got a real heart to pray, tell Andrew. Let Andrew know, because we need prayers and intercessors. Others have got a real heart for the poor. Praise God. Get involved in giving the food, in going out with faith, in supporting CCA or whatever it might be. It's making a difference. Those are valuable gifts. We need those in the church. For others, it's music and it's worship. And I just mentioned a few aspects of what our vision is, but it all comes out of love for God. We need those worship, people with worship hearts to sing and to play and to help lead us in worship, that we might attract more of the presence of God. In actual fact, do you know the most important part of this meeting to the Lord? It's the first part. It's the part that some of us are often late for. But worship is what we give to him. He knows all that I'm saying. He's not going to get a revelation today from the scripture. He's not going to say, oh, wow, I never realized that was there for. I'm glad I was listening to Neville. But he loves it. He loves it when we just give him our hearts and we just worship him and lift him up. That's the most important part of the meeting for him. So let's come. If you've got those gifts, we need them. Speak to John. We'd love to hear from you. We need cell leaders. And as we grow, we'll need more of them. We need administrators, and we need children's and youth workers, and we need your money. So some may have less time to actually give. You know, they're so busy with this. Well, you can just give some money. That's okay too. Everybody can have a part to play in building St. Paul's Cathedral, in building a church which is going to make a difference. That includes us all. Some people have told me before the vision is too narrow. No, the vision's broad. The vision includes everybody. And you've got a part to play in that. And Paul says, as we bring our gifts, as we use that which God's given me, so the building gets built together. The body builds itself up in love. And he's honoured and he's worshipped. We need those with a passion for family and marriage to help those who are struggling with parenting or relationships. I'm serious. If you've got a real heart for that, I'd love to send you on a course and bring back some stuff that could really help us serve here, but serve out there too. With some, you know, brilliant what John's doing and Sylvia and John, you know, on the marriage course, you know, is there to help marriages. We need counselors. We need business people. We need cleaners. We need administrators. We need people who are just friendly. I was talking to, well, say who it is, I might embarrass his daughter, but I was saying, I think your daughter would be wonderful as a greeter at the door. She is such a friendly person. And she might not think, what gifts have I got to offer? Well, just that smile and that ability to talk is such an important gift. And some of you might think, well, I can do that. Well, do it. It's part of building the church, what the Lord wants us to do. And as we each do it, God is honoured, and the church grows, and the vision gets fulfilled. Why are you making those cakes? I might ask somebody. Get the reply, I'm helping LifeSpring get its building. Why are you working more hours this week to earn more money so LifeSpring can meet those requests in Africa? What are you doing in the office, Marilyn? You know, four mornings a week, she could reply, I'm helping LifeSpring win 20 men, 20 women, and 20 youth this year. Why are you going to be doing messy church, Jackie? To help my cell win 4 women for Jesus this year. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do you get up early and set up on the mornings here on Sundays? Because I want to help Nev fulfill the vision for LifeSpring Church. Why are you stewarding? To help everyone who comes through these doors know we're pleased to see them, God loves them, and we want to win 60 souls. Why are you doing Alpha? Because I want to be like Jesus. I want to find 12 disciples. And I know if I'm going to find my 12, I need to grow a cell. I need to see people saved. So I'm going to do Alpha because I want to reach the lost. Why are you doing Energy, Dan and Catherine? To help our children know that God loves them and they too can make a difference. Do you get the thing I'm saying? Whatever we're involved in can be part and is part of that bigger picture, because he wants us all involved to build together the vision which God's got for us. Isn't vision great? I just love vision. Without it, King Solomon says, we perish, we cast off restraint, we become discouraged, we run wild. But with it, we're focused. With it, there's life. With it, there's energy. With it, there's goals to fulfill and a God to be honoured and glorified. With a clear vision, as we connect to the head and honour and respect his gifts coming under heaven's flow, and we bring our gifts and ministries to the table, the church gets built, the vision gets fulfilled, and Jesus gets glorified. Amen. I just want to close before you clap me. And Matt, if we could just come up to the, we'll have some music. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Oh, I don't need my Bible. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that works in us, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. In Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. I love that verse. The church is here to bring glory to Jesus. And as we do the stuff he's given us to do, we will bring him much glory. He's going to be honored through the church. I believe the best is yet to come. For LifeSpring, for the church in this land, for this continent which is so dark with so many people yet to hear the gospel, the best is yet to come. Glory is going to be in this church and in his church, and he will be honored throughout all generations. And do you know what? We're the only people group that goes on forever and ever and ever. What a privilege. What a privilege to be part of this group. Let's stand. No idea what we're going to do, but we're going to worship and let's honour.
That makes two of us. Good.
Then sings my soul.